A very good evening and welcome to this broadcast from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you've been able to join with us tonight and we pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts in this gospel broadcast. If you have a copy of the scriptures, I want you to turn with me please this evening to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel and the chapter 11. I trust that you'll take up a copy of the Word of God and read with us a few verses here from this 11th chapter of John's Gospel. So John chapter 11, and we will commence reading from the verse 32. John chapter 11 and the verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Amen. We'll end there, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Can we just please still our hearts in a word of prayer? Eternal God and our Father, we come to thee this evening with that wonderful assurance that we can access the throne of heavenly grace. We thank the Lord tonight for the one at thy right hand. We thank thee for our Saviour, our Mediator. We thank the Lord for the God-man, the one who loved us and the one who on the cross of Calvary died to save us from our sin. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the glorious message of the gospel. We thank thee, O Lord, tonight that Jesus saves. We thank the Lord tonight that you're still saving, transforming lives. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight in this gospel broadcast, Lord, that you would be pleased to speak to many. Oh God, we pray that for the saint, Lord, that our hearts will be encouraged and thrilled as we listen once again to the claims of the gospel and the change that the gospel makes. And Heavenly Father, we pray as well for those tuning in tonight without Christ and still in their sin. Oh God, we pray that this will be the night of their salvation. And this will be the night of their conversion. Answer prayer, we pray. Give us help now, Lord, as we would open the scriptures of truth. We ask, O God, that you'll come. And Lord, just we pray, use this word to your glory and to your great honour. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even this night, you will be pleased to save precious souls. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This Gospel of John is perhaps one of the most favourite and well-known of all the Gospels in the entire New Testament record. And that's not only just because of its plainness of writing and its directness in the message, but also because of the great preeminence that John the Gospel writer gives to Christ. You see, in John's Gospel, we get a real insight into the person and also to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the striking features of the Gospel of John is the power of Christ. And we see that power displayed on numerous occasions throughout this gospel. There are 8 miracles in total in John's gospel. They start and they end with a family. One in Cana at a wedding, and now the other in Bethany at a funeral. They start with life's gladdest moments, but it ends in life's saddest moments. It starts as he turns the water into wine, but it also comes to this climax here in John's Gospel, chapter 11, where we see the power of Christ and his triumph over the tomb. And both those miracles and those in between, they all speak to us of how that Christ is the creator of life, the sustainer of life, and the giver of life. And we see the power of Christ displayed, even at times when it seems humanly impossible. Now, tonight I want us to look at this very familiar passage of Scripture in the Word of God, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This account will be familiar to you. If you have any understanding or recollection of the Scriptures, you will know this chapter very well. But as in all of the miracles, this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead presents to us not just a physical miracle, but speaks to us most importantly of a spiritual miracle. The greatest miracle that Jesus Christ can wrought in a heart. And that is the bringing of a dead sinner to new life in Jesus Christ. You see, the message from this gravesite here in John's Gospel, chapter 11, is that Christ is all-powerful to bring life. Life when there is no life. Hope when there is no hope. Maybe this evening I'm speaking to you, and you've reached a stage in your life where you believe that all hope is gone. I don't know your situation or stage in life. I don't know where you are at right now in your life. But I want tonight to bring to you the gospel of hope, the gospel of saving grace, the message of hope, the message of Christ, that Christ still changes lives. And no matter how far gone you may feel you are, Christ can still save your life. No matter how hopeless your situation in life may be right now, Christ can still turn your life around. I want us to notice some things here about Lazarus, what we find here in this account of this great miracle. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, what Lazarus encountered. What Lazarus encountered. John chapter 11, if we had taken time to read the opening part of this chapter, starts off with a very sad event. We have the account of a family that was loved greatly by the Lord and would often have spent much time with in that place called Bethany. But you see, into that very peaceful, quiet, godly environment came a great tragedy. Their brother Lazarus, taken unwell, and the calmness and the quietness of that home is shattered by sickness. And then eventually, death came. In the midst of all that was going on, here was a very sad event. Into this home, this very settled home, this very insignificant home, quiet home, yet a very godly home, came death. You know, isn't that the reality that affects so many homes? How quickly homes and families can be turned upside down when death comes. And that devastating news rips families apart. Yet even in such a devastating time, and in such a hard time, here was a family who turned to Christ. Maybe tonight, in your home and in your family, you've received some very devastating news. some very difficult news. News that has turned your entire life upside down. In all of life's ups and all of life's downs, I want you to do what Mary and Martha did. What did they do? They turned to the Lord. They took their difficult situation and they brought it to the Lord. They knew, they believed that only the Lord could help them in this situation. And they turned to the Lord for help. And the Lord, of course, was only too willing to help. But by the time the Lord came, Lazarus had been dead. And his body was rotting in the grave. Christ still comes with his words of comfort. We see the tender compassion of Christ in those so familiar words, just two little words in verse 35, that Jesus wept. How good it is to know that in all of our sorrows, in all of our pains, thank God tonight, the man of sorrows has a part in all of our troubles. There's not a pain that rends our hearts, but the man of sorrows, the one who's touched with grief, he has a part in it all. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What Lazarus encountered here was death. Not a very pleasant subject. Not a very appealing subject. But Lazarus encountered death. Lazarus passed the way of all flesh. Do you know there are very few certainties in life, very few guarantees in life. But here is one absolute certainty, and that is we all must needs die. Lazarus encountered death. And unless the Lord comes or calls, we will all encounter death as well. But the great question is, are you ready for death? Are you ready to meet God? Where will you be in God's eternity? As you've walked behind funeral processions, as you've attended funeral services, and perhaps as you've gazed onto the open casket, have you ever stopped to think that one day that will be you? One day you'll pass that way as well. Little hymn asked the question, have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about, why you're here and where you're going when your lease of life runs out? Goes on to say, maybe you've been far too busy, trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me kindly ask you, have you thought about your soul? Oh, if you've never thought it over, spend a little time today. There is nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole in the name of Christ our Saviour. Have you thought about your soul? You ever stopped to think about your soul? You ever stopped to think where you would be if death were to come? Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? We'll all experience death because of sin. Sin brought death into this world. It brought physical death, but it also brought spiritual death. And you see, what Lazarus encountered was death. But you know, in a spiritual sense, that shows to us and speaks to us of what we are all by nature. We are spiritually dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read that we're all dead in trespasses and sins. We can't do anything to save ourselves. A dead corpse can do nothing to bring life back into its being. I wonder if you ever realized tonight that before God you are a sinner, and before God that only Christ can help you. That you can do nothing to help yourself. It's only Christ can save your soul. It's only Christ can make you ready for heaven. It's only Christ can give you pardon and peace Where will you be? In God's eternity. Where will you be when death comes? When you close your eyes in this world, you go out into God's eternity, where will you be? We all must needs die, just as Lazarus died. In a time when we are separated from our family, from our friends, where will you be in God's eternity? Oh, that tonight you would be ready. What Lazarus encountered was death. We will all one day encounter death. But I want you to see, secondly, not only what Lazarus encountered was death, but in the second place, what Lazarus experienced was new life. New life. You see, after a period of grief and sorrow, Christ steps forward. Those words in verse 43 onwards are some of the most powerful yet precious words in Scripture. Verse 43, it says, "And when he," that is Christ, "had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" You see, it seemed that nothing more could be done. If Christ had not stepped into this situation, the situation would be entirely doomed. Here was a man whose case was hopeless. Nobody could do anything for him. Nobody could help him. There were sisters who were crying. All of the community were in great mourning. But nobody could change that situation. Only Christ. And thank God tonight, in your hopeless situation, perhaps you've reached the end of the road as far as you're concerned, Christ can still save you. Christ can change your life. Christ can turn your life around. Look what he says. "Lazarus, come forth." Can you imagine the astonishment and the amazement that day? Has this man gone mad? Do they not know that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days now? You know, whenever you present the gospel of Christ and you present Christ as the only way that sinners can be saved, people will say, "You must be mad. There must be something more. There has to be more than just Christ." But thank God tonight, when you've got Christ, you've got everything. You don't need anything else. When you've got Christ, you've got all. Here was a difficult situation. Here was a dark situation, and Christ changed it. Look at the command in verse 43. Notice that it was personal. It said, "Lazarus." The Lord had called to Lazarus, "Come forth." It was a very personal call. It was for no one else. It was just for that one person. And tonight in the gospel, he's calling you individually, personally, to come and be saved. He's calling you by name and he says, "Come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He invites you. He calls you, he commands you, he pleads with you tonight, come and be saved. Come and get right with God. As you listen to this gospel broadcast tonight, Christ is calling you personally. How will you respond? It was a personal call. It was also a precise call. Come forth. You see, Lazarus knew what exactly he was to do. He had to come forth. He had to leave that place where he was and come to Christ. He had to leave that place of death and come to the place of life. And Christ is the giver of life. And the gospel tonight, the invitation of the gospel, is also very precise. You have to repent. You have to leave that place of the deadness of your sin. And you have to believe the gospel. You have to come to Christ. You have to leave your sin behind. The gospel call tonight is very precise. Repent and believe the gospel. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about trying to do better. It's not about a case of DIY in your life, trying to better yourself. No, it's coming to Christ. Such is the deadness of your life by nature because of sin. Only Christ can turn your life around. You see, there's nothing that you or I could do to save ourselves. But thank God, on the cross of Calvary, Christ did it all. When the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself one sacrifice for sin forever in order to redeem us to God. You cannot work your way to heaven. No efforts of your own will ever save your soul. But tonight you call on the name of Jesus Christ, the only one who can help you. You shall be saved. It was a very personal call. It was a very precise call. But I want you to see as well, it was a very powerful call, because when irresistible grace laid hold here, look what happens. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth. You see, this call brought forth life. And this life changed this man's life forever. The dead came forth. Whenever you heed and obey the call of God and the command of the gospel to repent, to turn away from your sin and come to Christ, your life can be changed as well. He experienced new life. He that was dead is now alive. He experienced new liberty. And in verse 44, he was loosed of the rags of death. Those grave clothes that bound him. He was loosed of those. That speaks to us of the great liberty of the gospel. Maybe you're held in bondage tonight. Fear of your sin. The grip of your sin. Christ came to set you free. The gospel sets you free tonight from the power of sin. Oh, look to Christ. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. Oh, tonight, see the change that Christ can make in your life. There's bondage and there's binding in sin. But thank God, Christ comes to give life and Christ comes to give liberty. That can be yours tonight if you will but come. What Lazarus encountered was death. What Lazarus experienced was new life. But finally, this evening, what Lazarus enjoyed was fellowship. You turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12 now, and look at verse number 2. It says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. He now sits in fellowships with Christ. He enjoys the blessings of Christ. He enjoys the nearness, the closeness, the communion of Christ. Everything's changed since Christ came in. In this home, the gloom is gone. There's the sadness and the sorrow is gone. Now there's fellowship. They enjoy the blessings of new life in Christ. Lazarus is feasting on the delights of the gospel. Christ has satisfied his soul. He wants for nothing. You see, Christ brings the repentant, believing sinner into his banqueting house. All there for you to enjoy. When you come to Christ in salvation, you'll want for nothing. He is not a disappointment. All Lazarus wanted to do was spend time with the one who brought new life to him. Everything changed. Life was never the same. Here's a man who's now feasting and enjoying his new life in Jesus Christ. No more sadness, just gladness. That's real salvation. That's what the gospel does. And that's what the gospel can do for you tonight as well. Notice the impact as well it made, not only in his life, but in the life of others. Look at verse number 11, John's Gospel chapter 12 and the verse number 11. Because that by reason of him, that is Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lazarus was the means of bringing others to Christ. What a change it would maybe make in your life. What a change it would make in your family. What a change it would make in your community if your life was to be given to Christ. And others saw that change. You would be the means in the hands of God of bringing others to Christ as well. You could be that link in the chain. In a husband, wife, son or daughter, a family, relative, neighbour. You could be that link in the chain of bringing others to Christ. This evening in the Gospel, why will you not give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Why will you not experience this new life that Jesus Christ alone can bring, that he alone offers? You need this life. You will encounter death. How will it be with your soul? Where will you be in God's eternity? Whenever you take that final step, You breathe that final breath and your heart beats for one last time. Where will you be? Where will you be? Oh, make sure you're ready. Be sure tonight you're saved. Get right with God. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and experience this new life that he alone can give. Will you come to him? You turn your life over to him, even where you are tonight. As you sit and listen to this broadcast, you can cry unto the Lord, Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Turn my life around. Call on the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. Will you do it tonight? Will you do it now? Come to Jesus Christ and come to him now. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for this new life that Jesus brings. We thank the Lord tonight for the encounter of this new life in the life of Lazarus. Lord, how that you changed his life, how that you brought new life into that which was dead. And we pray, Lord, that tonight, for those who are listening, for those who are watching, Lord, that you would bring new life into their dead bodies as well. Oh God, take sinners out of the cemetery of sin and bring them into the life and the liberty of the gospel. Change lives tonight, we pray. Lord, encourage we, thine own people. May we be thrilled as we've been reminded of the change that Christ brings, the change that he has wrought even in our own hearts. And Lord, we pray that we might go out and tell others of what Jesus Christ can do. So bless, Lord, this word to our hearts tonight. Pray, Lord, you'll speak to souls. Save sinners tonight, we pray. May they call upon thee in salvation. May they reach out. And may they turn to Jesus Christ. And may they do it now. In the name of Christ we pray, and for his honour and glory we ask. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I pray the Lord will bless you. If you do have a spiritual concern, you'd like to get saved, then make contact with the church in Londonderry. Make sure tonight you get right with God, the most important thing you'll ever do. The Lord bless you, and thank you for tuning in tonight. God bless you.